They begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We
fired our... Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you very much for listening. 251-343-0106 if you want to weigh in on anything. Hit us up on the text line. That works really well. Joining us now on the program, always a pleasure to bring on our next guest. He represents us in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman Jerry Carl is on the line. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for making time. We always appreciate it. Let's get right into it.
My pleasure.
I guess the first thing is, and it seems to be kind of leading the discussion on the when we talk about national politics or federal politics, it's a situation at the border. There was a Senate Republican delegation that went down there, but this, these are my words. It looks like it's the potential of being, Joe Biden's, Hurricane Katrina.
I think that's a great comparison. I think that's exactly what it is. I'll be at the border in 2 weeks, but I don't need to go to the border to know that there's real problems. I saw a report today that they anticipated somewhere between 500 to 800,000 illegal immigrants here that will have crossed the border by October. And that's scary. And folks, you know, and I tell folks all the time, they say, well, that's way down there in New Mexico and Texas borders. How does it affect us? Well, I got news for you. All these children that we're intercepting and trying to take care of, which we are, I understand some facilities are 1,000, 1,500 over what their capacity was ever designed for. So the numbers are startling. But, you know, while we're taking care and spending resources to take care of these kids, you know, they're bringing in just tons and tons of drugs that's just destroying our small communities. And I can't say it enough. We have to not only focus on stopping the flow of traffic, but stopping the flow of drugs. I just did a tour of the Coast Guard base here in Mobile, which Coast Guard base runs 2 or 3, and I'm going to get the terminology wrong, but they're cutters, I do believe. And they intercept, they're looking for drugs. They're looking for, you know, obviously search and rescue, helping people. But they're also looking for illegal immigrants that are coming in. They're being smuggled in by boats, which, just for the record, a lot of them are female. They're part of the sex trafficking loop, and they will bring them through here. So when you start talking about border issues and how it affects us, it affects every part of our life. And so many of these especially young ladies that are brought in for drug trafficking, I mean, they're coming right through the Mobile port here. So, you know, we have to take care of the Coast Guard. We have to make sure that they've got the equipment they need to protect themselves and protect us. And it's just such a huge issue. And then we have Biden, who just keeps looking the other way. He is so bent on the fact of changing Donald Trump or the previous administration's ways of doing things, that tearing it up and just destroying what was working, well, you know, reasonably working well, much better than historically, you're right. It's become his Hurricane Katrina. I don't know how he's going to ever recover from it.
Well, you were talking about the Coast Guard and how they were dealing with it. Now, the Border Patrol, I think, has been given stand down or whatever you want to call it, instructions. Certainly not the same game it was when Donald Trump was president. But do you get the sense that the policy has changed for the Coast Guard at all?
You know, I did not ask any political questions of the Coast Guard today like that. I wished I would have. I would have an answer for you. But they seem to me still doing their jobs, because they're focused on, obviously illegals and, hiding. Because they were telling stories about some ladies that they found. They were trying to smuggle in exactly for the sex trade. So, there's more to the security of this country than just the borders. And you would think the borders would be a very easy thing to fix. I mean, just say no, turn them away. Let's finish the wall. you know, work with the Mexican government. And even the Mexican government is telling Biden, hey, you asked for it, you're getting it. You know, what do you expect? So, but with that said, we've got to do something different. And I'm glad there's been a lot of noise made. I'm glad we have senators and congressmen and elected officials across this country that are beginning to speak up and say, hey, enough's enough. Let's take care of our folks first.
Well, and you know, even if you, whatever the policy is, it seemed like at least getting there and getting to some solution, it could just be a kind of a change in tone or change in rhetoric. By just saying, don't come, you won't be allowed in, and then maybe that dissuades some of the influx, that there's some little things they could do that wouldn't cost a dime, it seems.
Well, the problem with that, it takes time. You've got quote-unquote kids that are traveling 1,100, 1,200 miles to get here, which I find that impossible to believe, but that's okay. We'll go with the story scenario that's there. You know, they're traveling that far to get here, so therefore they've got to start, you know, that message needs to have been out 90 days ago. You know, although you're welcome under the immigration issues that we have set up, or the immigration plan we have set up, but you're not welcome just to walk across the border. And I really caution people, don't get immigration policy confused with what's going on right now, because this is not an immigration problem. This is an illegal immigrant crossing the border issue, something totally different. Do we need to reform the immigration policies? I think it is time to address that and try to clean that up and make it a little bit more streamlined, like so many things in the government. You got bureaucrats running it, so they're going to make it as complicated as they can. But with that said, don't get the two mixed up.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, a lot of discussion about a big infrastructure package from Democrats that they're going to try to use this, use reconciliation just to get something through. That I guess they're waiting on a ruling from the Senate parliamentarian of what approach they're going to take. But we hear infrastructure down here in South Alabama and coastal Alabama, and we think, hallelujah, the money for the bridge is coming. My sense is that it's going to be a lot of more of the windmills and solar panels and green technology is what Democrats are going to try to couch as infrastructure.
I love to use the term. It's nothing more than the same grill green deal with a different color lipstick on it. It's still the same deal. I mean, that's what this infrastructure package is about. Yes, there will be a little bit that will related to what we refer to as infrastructure, which is road and bridge. But the majority of it's going towards green energy. And we saw in the Obama administration how much money was just wasted on some of these green energy projects. I'm not against that at all. But I don't want to buy into 100%. Let's do 10%. Let's look at growing into what the needs are. I've been with an electrical engineer most of the weekend talking about automobiles and where we're going to go with electric cars. You know, according to physics, it's not going to work. Nobody's saying that. If you got a car and you stop and you go to get you're out of electricity, it may take you 2 to 3 hours to charge that car back up. The laws of physics, they're not going to be able to change that charging time. They may make bigger batteries, longer batteries that last longer, but it's still going to take the same amount of time to fill those batteries, which I'm getting my eyes really open. So anyway, the laws of physics apply there, but I'm afraid this infrastructure package that the Biden administration has put forth is so much of that. It's just pour a lot of money into the Green Deal. And it's money we don't have, my gracious. You know, we're $28 trillion in the hole. That'll put us up to $31 trillion plus. And I just don't know where the money's going to come from, other than just raise taxes. No, I'm not for raising taxes at all. We have plenty of money. We just got a spending issue, what we've got in this country.
Well, tangentially related, I-10 Bay Bridge. I guess you're well aware of the situation there.
I've heard of that bridge before. Yes,
you were a part of the announcement for a toll bridge, trucks only toll bridge. Walk us through your thoughts on that and what you think the next steps are.
Well, it's just like I said when we made the announcement. It's not a perfect plan by no means, but it's got us moving. I was excited right after the election. I went up and I talked to the governor about what we needed to do to get the project moving, and I was excited to find out that she had continued to work on it. They were trying to downsize it. They were trying to come up with some options that would actually keep us moving. We got $125 million there that we could easily lose if we don't put it wisely in action. The mayors on both sides of the bay, the county commissions, everyone has been working with the mayor to put this bridge concept together of the truck side of it. In this package that's coming up, I have no idea. I don't anticipate us having any money in that package, simply because what they're trying to do, obviously, again, is all based on, you know, the Green Deal, and this is not going to fit that. Now, in the future, I don't know. That when I say the future, I'm talking about 2-3 years out. That might be more of a possibility, but I don't want to get anyone excited to think that we can just come up with $1 billion overnight, because it doesn't work that way. Or we're not going to quit trying. I'm not going to quit trying. That was part of my campaign, was that bridge, that bridge, that bridge. We've got to finish that bridge. We've got to finish the Bayway. And we've got to get the flow of traffic. And the commerce from that is what I'm most focused on right now. It's just the commerce side of it.
Well, and, you know, the port expansion, one would have to anticipate with what's going on. There's the demand for that thoroughfare is going to be, you know, even more apparent, especially as COVID rolls back and people start getting back to work and going places, that there's going to be some tough growing pains in the interim.
There is. And, you know, and being the port city, everything in our life in South Alabama is going to evolve around that port. That's Baldwin County, Mobile County, Scambia County, all of us, because, I mean, that is the main artery into my district, District 1, if not the whole state. So, you know, we've got to continue. We can't lose our sight on that bridge, because it's going to affect everyone in some way, in a negative way, if we don't do something. So the project they have put together, again, I don't think it's the most perfect plan in the world, but it's the best plan we have before us right now. I'm encouraged that we've got the possibility of moving forward. And it's far from moving forward. It's not a done deal by no means. But we need something to keep it moving.
Finally, Congressman, we'll wrap it up on this, but Fort Pelosi still is a thing, although I've heard they've taken down some of the razor wire and maybe less of a troop presence. But what's it look like there on the ground when you're up at D.C.?
Well, I've been home in my district for the last 2 weeks, so I'm told it's being taken down. I've asked for a couple hundred yards of the razor wire. I want to chop them up and use them for fundraising purposes. That's a joke. I'll be glad to get there and see it down. I understand there's still going to be a small fence or a different fence that's going to be much closer to the building itself. So there'll still be, quote unquote, some security there, but I don't want a fence at all. I love the idea of people coming and going out of my office. That's what I'm there for. I'm there to serve people. If I can't talk to them and, you know, face to face with them, if I can't do those kind of things, I really feel like I'm not doing my job. Yeah. So take it all down and let's get back to normal life. You know, the Democrats right now are trying to come up with money for their security. So they have full-time security staff with them, which I do everything by myself. I don't get that.
What happened on January 6th is what it is, but Republicans are in a tough spot because they got to constantly condemn what happened. And then in the meantime, you have these optics that just with all that's happened around Capitol Hill that Pelosi's really just, the Democrats are really milking this for what they can.
Yeah, but on the other hand, why aren't the Republicans making more noise about, you know, all the protests of, you know, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these groups has been tearing up and burning down and stuff. Why aren't we making more noise about that? They killed, I'm sure, when I say they, I'm just talking about the movement itself, has killed more people and done much more damage than what happened on the 6th. But, you know, the Republicans just, you know, we're too busy. I told Kevin McCarthy this. I'm tired of playing defense. I want to go on offense because I know I'm from Alabama and I understand football, and you can't score unless you got the ball. We got to get on offense. Have to.
It's just overcoming the media, right? Does that, you know, President
the media up there in D.C. is just crazy.
Right.
What Trump says about the media is dead on. I don't care. I thought a lot of that was, at first, was a floor show, you know, part of Trump's, you know, pizzazz about him. But, no, it's the truth. They don't even want to talk to you if you're a Republican. They could care less.
Have you had any run-ins in your early tenure with the Capitol Press Corps?
No, not with the Press Corps. I had Capitol Police threaten to take a stick to me because I fussed at him about using the metal detector the first time, But I mean, he was 28, and here I am, 60 plus years old. I knew I wasn't going to get far with that idea, so I quickly unloaded my pockets. But not the press corps. You know, they really don't pay much attention to me. Marjorie Taylor Greene, and you know, and Bobard, and some of the other ones have really taken all the attention away from us, which I'm fine with that. If they don't know who I am up in D.C., I'm just happy with that and get my job done.
Well, Congressman, we got to leave it there, but you've been very, very generous with your time, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff, and I always enjoy coming on the show. Thank you. Thank you for giving all of us a chance to you know, express our opinions and our voice on your show.
Well, anytime, you got an open invitation.
All right, my friend. You take care.
You too. That was Congressman Jerry Carl. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. And again.